We're looking at worship, but part of this is living a life with purpose. Living a life with purpose. Many in our society are living with no purpose. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're headed. They live in a hopeless situation. They don't know how they're going to get out of these situations. And there seems to be an epidemic of young and old who are either contemplating suicide, who have tried suicide, or some who have even, because of their hopelessness, committed suicide. And the reason for that is because they have no purpose. The reason for that is they have no hope. Well, today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in chapter 12 and of Romans. And what this passage of Scripture tells us that some of you here today may be feeling those very things. But God says, I have hope for you. God says, I have purpose for you. And if you will put these scriptures to practice, you're going to find the key to the purpose the Lord has for you. Let's stand together as we read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You may be seated. So here's what this passage says. Hopefully you saw it. Scripture says, if you do this, if you live a life pleasing to me, then I will show you what your purpose is. Paul tells us, if we live in a place where our lives are a conduit of worship, then God will reveal his plan, his purpose to you. I've had many people, young and old, tell me, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. A lot of times people, when they retire, when they get to a stage in their life that they've had to transition out of one thing into another thing, it's like, now I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, a lot of people during the COVID went through this hopelessness. A lot of people during COVID has went through anxiety issues. And we're told that many of them have not come out of that. And we're also told that 90% of our children are living in anxiety. Okay? That's not what God wants. That's not what his will is for your life. So living a life on purpose is a worship-filled life. So to find God's purpose for you, there's a few things we must do. The first thing is that we must be holy. Okay? We must be holy. Again, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, let me explain to you what holy is. There's actually a couple of aspects regarding holiness. So in the Old Testament, Moses built a tabernacle. And while he was building this tabernacle, he set aside certain things for God's purpose. And every object that he set aside, it was called holy. Anything that you set aside for God's purpose is called holy. Set aside for him and him alone. Now, the Mississippi trip, Mississippi guys and gals, they raised money to get out here. And they put that money in a fund. It was set aside for one purpose, to serve the Lord. That money was holy. Do you get it? Okay. So here's the deal. God says when he called you out of darkness into light, he set you apart. And now you are holy. Isn't that cool? In the Old Testament, the Levites were given their areas of service. The Levites were set apart from the rest of the Israelite congregation. They were set apart. They were different. God called them holy. God called them holy. Everything is set apart for God is holy. You are holy if you belong to Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's this aspect of holiness where you are set apart. God has selected you. God has appointed you. God has chosen you. Then there also this holiness is a practice. Listen to this passage of scripture in 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Right? So at one time you were not holy. At one time you were a part of the world. And some of you may be still there today. Now God is calling you because he wants to choose you, but you have to accept him before he can choose you. You have to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior before you are chosen. Does that make sense? Okay. So his choosing oftentimes depends on you and what you choose to do with his son, Jesus Christ. He wants to choose everyone, scripture says, John 3:16. What's it say? Loved who? Say it again. That he that who? Who? So when we choose him, because he's drawing us, we are chosen. Okay? Hopefully all of you are chosen. When the articles were chosen for the temple, they were set aside. They became holy. When sacrifices were brought, they were set aside. Let's just take a lamb, for instance, was set aside for one purpose, and that was for sacrifices. And it was chosen. It was a holy sacrifice. And scripture says that a lamb is to be without spot, without blemish. So there was a scrubbing that took place. My grandson has sheep. He's showing at the fair this week. And he's got a sheep. He's grooming and washing and preparing to show at the fair. But it's kind of like that. It's kind of like when you bring your sacrifice, it's going to be the best that you have, and you're going to wash it, you're going to prepare it, you're going to make it ready so that it's acceptable to God. So not only is holiness a position, holiness is a practice, but holiness also requires cleansing. Holiness requires cleansing. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. Okay? Now, he came to live in a fixer-upper. How many of you have ever lived in a fixer-upper? Yeah, still there. Cynthia and I we got married in August in 1978, right? Okay, 1978. And we moved to Portland, Oregon in September of 78 from Mississippi. And we lived in a log cabin. I think it was built in the 1930s. It needed a lot of work. One evening, about 10 o'clock, we had some visitors, some friends over, and we were sitting around the dining room table, just visiting, and we heard a commotion underneath the kitchen cabinets. I mean, there was a brawl going on, okay? It was bad. About 2 minutes later, our visitors left. And I would set out, I set out rat traps, the biggest ones I could find, and next morning there'd be, you know, nothing in them. One night, I heard a blood-curdling scream. There was a two-story, and I thought, what in the world's going on? So I ran as fast as I could down the stairs and went to the bathroom where the light was on, and there, Cynthia was standing back against the wall screaming, and on the sink at the faucet, there was something going. It scared me. So I went outside, and there was a, I think it was an old axle wheel. It was all like a handle and a 4x4, and you could really bat with it. And so I killed that possum. Okay. It didn't know how to play dead at the time. But I taught it. Exactly. And so, you know, then I went in and cleaned up the blood out of the bathroom and tried to make my wife feel better. Didn't do very well at it. But, you know, then I went to put the paper towels under the sink where the garbage was, and another possum comes out. I freaked out with her. I went to get my 4x4, and it was gone by the time I got back. And eventually I found out where they were getting in, was able to concrete the wood in my log cabin, and it didn't come in that way anymore. I read a book, and I'm reading a book called Pigs in the Parlor. I'm calling mine Possum in the Pantry. And did you know when you come to know Christ, when you come to Christ, that there's a lot of junk that you still have in your heart that needs to go away? It would be wonderful when Christ comes in and takes over that all of that stuff would just go away. Some of it goes. Some of it, it's like, whoo, I've got victory over that. Praise the Lord. But then the other stuff, it's like, man, you can't get out of it. And every one of us have possums in our pantry that need to be removed. As Scripture says, the way you know what's in your heart is you listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you need to listen to yourself. And anytime something is ungodly comes out of your mouth, then you know that there's an issue with the heart. Anytime there's an action that takes place in your members of your body, you know that there's something, a problem with your heart. There are heart issues. And so holiness requires cleansing. And all of us need to be cleansed so that the Holy Spirit can be comfortable in the home that he now lives in. Now, the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to us what it is that needs to be taken care of in our life. Our job is to take care of it with the Holy Spirit's help. Okay? The second thing we discover in this passage, if we're to live a life of worship and discover God's perfect plan for our life, is that we must become a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. From the beginning of creation, sacrifices have been made to God. I believe when Adam and Eve sinned and And the first animals that were killed, God took their lives to clothe Adam and Eve because they had no clothes at that time, and it really didn't bother them. But when sin came in, shame came with it. And when sin came in, guilt came with it. And see, guilt and shame can't be removed until Jesus comes and makes a sacrifice for that himself. But at that time, all they could do was cover the guilt and shame. And so they had the animal skins to cover the guilt and shame. You remember Cain and Abel, they were offering, this is their children, Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel, they were offering sacrifices to the Lord as a form of worship. All through history, in every culture, in every religion, there's always sacrifices as an act of worship. Do you remember Abraham and Isaac? Abraham was taking Isaac up to be a sacrifice, and Isaac evidently had been with his dad before because he turns to his dad and says, "Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. I don't see the sacrifice." Abraham tells his servants, "Wait here while my son and I go up on the hill and worship." So sacrifice and worship has always been both and. So what Paul is telling us here is that we need to be a living sacrifice. Did you know, and also what Paul is telling us here is God no longer requires a blood sacrifice, because Jesus was the blood sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who gave his life for you. He's the one that gave his life to so you could overcome the power of sin, so that you could overcome the penalty of sin. He's the one that takes the sin away. Not just covers it, but he takes it away. So how do we become a living sacrifice? Number one, we don't need to be conformed to this world. So you were a part of this world at one time. Before you received Jesus, you were a part of this world. Now Scripture says that you're an alien in this world. This world is not your home. You have a home, but this world's not it. Tillamook's not your home. Macon's not your home. Heaven is your home. And so here's what I'm thinking. If heaven is my home, I need to quit speaking the earth's language. If heaven is my home, I no longer need to live as the world lives. If heaven is my home, I need to learn how to speak heavenly things. If heaven is my home, I no longer need to curse, because that's not heavenly language. If heaven is my home, then I need to act like I'm a child of God and not a child of the world, because heaven is my home. Scripture says, do not be conformed to this world. We were all a part of the world at one time. But now that you know Christ, you are no longer a part of the world. We sang a song a while ago, and I can't remember the name of it, but it reminded me that Jesus is coming soon. And oftentimes I used to watch Westerns. And Scripture says that Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to ride a white horse. And all of the heavenly hosts are going to have white horses following him. You may not know it, but there are going to be horses in heaven. And I hear Jesus saying, "Saddle up, boys. We're going for a ride. Come on. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come today." Did you know why Jesus is waiting? Because there are untold millions who do not know Jesus as their Savior yet. And he's waiting for one more. Just one more. One more. One more. And the Lord is ready to ride, but he's waiting for one more, because he doesn't want to leave anyone out. Don't be conformed to this world. We talked last week about people walking in darkness, people not walking in the light, people who are unwilling to see the truth, unwilling to hear the truth. And by default, because they're unwilling to hear the truth, unwilling to receive the truth, by default, they believe the lies. They're walking in darkness. Now, we need to be honest with ourselves. Are you walking in darkness, or are you walking in the light? And here's what I've discovered. The more truth I receive, the more light is given. And the more light I walk in, the more truth I can receive. And so if I walk in the light, as he is in the light, then the darkness flees, and my perception gets better, and I know where I'm going, and I know where God is leading me, and I can experience the perfect will of God that he has promised me because I'm walking in the light. That kind of life is a worship to God. Living a holy, living sacrifice is a worship to God. Don't be conformed to this world, Scripture says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, you can't walk around mindless. We have a lot of people walking around mindless. They can't think for themselves. They don't have sound reasoning. And I want to encourage you, Paul is encouraging you, don't walk around mindless. You must be aware and you need to begin living as if you're in heaven rather than if you're on earth. Let me ask you a few questions. Is there any hate in heaven? Maybe of Satan? So that's a good. I'm asking the Lord if I should share this. So I was dealing with a lady one day in my office. Came out of Satanism. And I had cast a demon out of her. And about 3 months later, the demon's back. And I always send them to the feet of Jesus. When I send them to the feet of Jesus, because I figured he knows what to do with them more than I do. I send them to the feet of Jesus. And this guy shows up again. And I'm like, what are you doing back? I sent you away. And the demon said this, please don't send me to the feet of Jesus again. I said, why? He says, there's too much love. It's like, whoa, too much love. And I'm like, and then the scripture verse comes to mind that says we're to love our enemies. And I'm thinking, well, God has to abide by the same rules he tells us to abide by, right? So I don't think there's even hate for Satan. I think there's hate for what he does. I think there's hate for the atrocities that he brings upon people. I know there is. But I don't think there can be hate in heaven. That's a good thought, but I don't think that's the right thought. Okay. So, is there going to be any fear in heaven? Perfect love casts out fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Is there going to be any cursing in heaven? No. Is there going to be any drunkenness in heaven? No. In the spirit. So here's what I'm saying. We need to act as if, we need to speak as if we're already there. And we need to love, and I'll tell you what, and a lot of people say this, I've never been in a church that's more loving. And I agree with that, okay? And I'm not preaching just to get on to you. I'm just preaching it because we can always step it up, right? We can always do better. We can always do better. Don't walk around mindless. Have the mind of Christ. Obedient to the things of Christ. See, all of us come into God's family with stuff. We come with lies in our heart. We come with habits, hang-ups. That can be overcome by the renewing of the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word of God, Scripture saturation, Scripture memorization, listening to godly preachers preach. There's some fake out there. Don't listen to them. Okay? Those who uphold the Word of God, because He is our hope. The Word of God is our hope. It is the truth. There's no other truth except what God says is truth. And we need to walk in the truth. We need no longer walk in the lies. Hanging around godly Christians, growing Christians, will encourage you to grow your mind. Beginning to think of yourself the way God thinks of you is a way to renew your mind. So knowing God's truth, walking in God's truth, embracing God's truth, living God's truth, speaking God's truth to yourself and to others will help you to renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does God say about you? You don't have to speak it out loud, but you need to know what God speaks to you. I was dealing with another lady one time, and I said, I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I said, let's ask the Holy Spirit, ask God if He loves you. And she did this. I said, what did He say? And I don't use this word, but this is what she said. He said, you're a bitch. In my discerning, I knew that was not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because that's not what the Holy Spirit says. And so if you hear something that comes from anything other than what God's already said in Scripture, you know you've got a spirit you need to deal with in your pantry. Okay? You need to know what God's Word says because you can get fouled up. Because the world will tell you one thing, and Satan will tell you one thing, and even your own self will tell you some things. But so that's why you need to know what God says. You need to embrace what God says. And oftentimes when I'm counseling with people, I say, what did the Lord tell you? Well, I feel like I'm worthless. Well, you know, that's a lie. You need to repent of the lie. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you for the lie and ask Him to remove it from yourself, from your life, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak. Lord, am I worthless? Holy Spirit says, no, you have great value. Then will you embrace that? You need to embrace it. You need to walk in it. You need to know that you have worth. You need to know that you have so much worth that Jesus Christ died for you. You need to know that. You need to embrace it. You need to walk in it. Next thing we're to do, actually it was the first thing Paul said, but it's the last thing I'm going to speak of, and the last one is present yourself. But, you know, this is a conscious decision. This is a conscious decision whether or not you're going to discover truth, discover God's purpose for your life, discover what His perfect will is for you, or keep going the road you're going. And Paul is giving, he's urging you. He's petitioning you. He's begging you to consider this. Make a conscious decision. You need to have a new mindset. So, are you guys finished high school? You have? So at the end of high school, you've got decisions you're going to make. Okay? You got a decision whether or not you're going to go in the military. Your decision whether or not you're going to go into the workforce. Decision whether or not you're going to college. And you have to make that decision, and you have to make a conscious decision. It's not like, oh, I'll just go wherever the wind blows. Okay? Wherever the wind, wherever the current takes me, that's where I'm going to go. You know where you're going to wind up if you do that? You're going to drown in the ocean. Okay? So you have to make a conscious decision about where you're going and what you're going to do. And that's great. Scripture says, it's talking about godly people. Man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Okay? You make your plans. You go, and then let God take you where he wants you to go. Okay? We make those conscious decisions. We make a conscious decision. Randy, did you just kind of say, hey, maybe I'll marry my wife, Christy? Or maybe she, who knows? So, no, there's sometimes you make decisions that are going to alter your life from now on. Okay? Whatever you choose to do in the workforce or whatever, it's going to alter your life from this point on. Okay? Who you choose to marry is going to alter your life from this point on forever. Well, at least till you die. Who you choose is going to alter your life. This decision that I'm asking you to make today, that Paul is asking you to make today, is going to alter your life. Okay? It's going to make you what God has designed for you to become from the creation of the world. Lord, I'm no longer living for myself. I'm going to live for you. Lord, I'm no longer living for others. I'm living for you. Lord, I'm no longer living for the world. I'm living for you. And God says, if you will do that, if you will, living sacrifice. Paul said, I die to myself daily. If any of you want to be my disciples, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's kind of like all through his letters, he's kind of like, bam, 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 bam. Oh, stop, Paul. But all through his letters, he's encouraging us. And why is he encouraging us? Because he's living that life. And he knows what's on the other side. I'm compelling you, Paul says. I'm urging you. I'm begging you. With everything in me, choose Christ. Choose Christ. Choose Christ. Let him be the Lord of your life. Be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for you. Are you tired of stumbling around, or do you want to get in on God's plan? You need to make a decision. Father, I come before you and I just lift up this congregation to you. Lord, some are sitting here today and Lord, your Holy Spirit is tugging at their heart. They know what they need to do. Fear is keeping them from stepping out. Their selfish desires are keeping them from moving forward. But God, I pray that today that your Spirit would be so strong that they would no longer resist, that they would yield to you. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender to your will and not mine. Lord, we ask these things in the precious and holy and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We ask you to stand. I'll be standing here at the front to pray with anyone who needs prayer. Matt's going to be in the back to pray with anyone. So just do what God says. Don't wait. Do what he says now.